Good morning, everyone. Today's prelude is a bit different, as we will most certainly prepare for worship, but in a new way, as we will all be rehearsing today's hymn after the sermon, Come Labor On. As we plan for this service, this is, I think, an incredible hymn that encapsulates today's gospel message in a wonderful tune. And according to my notes, the last time it was sung in St. John's was 1996. So we need to rehearse a bit before we sing it in today's service. So what will happen during the prelude is I will play through one time through on the piano as an introduction. The choir will sing the first stanza, and then I will invite you to sing the first stanza as well. You can remain seated for this. So piano, choir sing stanza one, and then you will sing stanza one, and we will be ready to sing this then after the sermon later on in the service.
Good morning, church. It's great to be able to look out and to see you all. Welcome to each and every one of you, and a special welcome to our visitors this morning, whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. If you are visiting and would like to fill out one of our visitor cards, they are located in the pew rack, and we'd love it if you could fill it out. We can be in touch with you, and hopefully you'll join us again. I'm still drying out. It's been a soggy weekend. And it looks like it's going to continue for a little while. So I think wisdom suggests that we postpone the blessing of the animals today. I'm thinking that I was talking to Sue Clemens out in the vestibule about this in the narthex. You know, I'm thinking that we might want to do a community pet blessing celebration, you know, make it big, maybe in this on the side lot here, invite some vendors, some groomers, Petco, I don't know. But we're going to put some thinking into this and maybe create something really special for the community here. So stand by for that. For many of us, this past week has been one in which we have worked hard, we have faced struggles. For some, there was the experience of loss and grief, but here we are gathered by the Spirit's tether now to release all of that which has been weighing on us and allowing our souls to be freed to sing and to take in the gracious God that we know and love. So let us now begin our worship. The world places economic value on a person. What are you worth?
God sees it differently. Everyone is of immense value. Everyone precious. Everyone possesses inherent dignity.
In the world God desires, everyone is needed. It doesn't matter when you decide to climb on board.
That's because God operates by sharing.
Instead, working in God's world is about joining together to achieve things that are more important, things like peace, harmony, health, wholeness, and the well-being of the soul.
We gather and worship to be reminded that all we have and all we are comes from a gracious, generous, and ever-loving God.
Would you now join with me in our confession? Gracious God, we are creatures of comparison. We like to keep track, and we like to keep score. We're overjoyed when we have been forgiven, or we've been given a second chance.
Yet we grumble when someone else is given a break. We say to ourselves, they didn't deserve it. Our calculations are self-serving, and our bias is strong. Only you, God, can see into the deepest recesses of the human heart. Help us to trust you as you offer grace and see beyond merit or accomplishment. We give thanks that you know the true value and potential of each person, and that your ultimate goal is to unite the world in appreciation for the sacredness and value of all people. Amen. In the same way, we are all embraced by God. We are all given the opportunity to be forgiven. When we confess our sins, a gracious God listens and understands. A chance to begin again. That is good news.
Our scripture today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
I'd like to invite the children to join me on the steps. I'm glad you all came up to join me because we have some work to do. Carolyn, we need to know how many people are here in church today. So would you go out and count the number of people that are sitting out here? Go ahead and go and count them. When Andrew needs to know how many people are in the choir, would you go count them for him? you know, we also need to know how many people are sitting up here. Can you guys count how many people are sitting over there? Okay, you got him. All right, good job. All right, and I forgot to tell you that because you did each one of those jobs, I have a goodie bag for each of you. And I'm going to give you each a goodie bag. Now, Carolyn, you had a big job to do, but I'm going to give you one goodie bag. And I'm going to give you guys one goodie bag because you went up and counted those people for us. Does that seem fair, Carolyn? No, Carolyn doesn't think that's fair. But you each went out and you did a job, and I'm going to pay you each for doing that job, right? And they're my goodie bags to give out, right? So sometimes it doesn't seem fair, like if I did a bigger job and I get the same thing. But I think what Jesus is telling us is that if we remember and we agree and we come back to Jesus, doesn't matter when we do that, right? As long as we do that. And you guys remember the story we talked about this morning about the man who didn't remember, right, what happened. So we want to remember that we can come to Jesus and we can say to God, thank you, and we will get our reward, whether we were the last ones to go count or whether we were the first ones to go count. Right? So, you may have a goodie bag. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your help. All right, so thank you, God, for reminding us that we just need to listen to you and talk with you, and we can get our rewards. And thank you for giving us a prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. As a member of the Charitable Gift Market Committee, previously known as the Alternative Gift Market, I'm excited to share about the event St. John's organizes each year. And I'll be introducing you to three special people today. They each represent a local charity that we support through our CDM fundraising event, which, weather permitting, is going to be held outside on Richardson Avenue, block party style. And keep the date in mind, it's October 15th. Before I introduce them, a little bit about this event and why we feel it's important for the church. Our St. John's congregation has been visioning and asking what is important to us as a community of faith. We've been asking three things. Who are we? Who is our neighbor? Who is God calling us to be? CGM can help answer these questions as a church that reaches out to help others and supports the work of many local, national, and international charities. One of the hardest parts of this event is getting people to come, and that's where all of us come in. We can help broaden the reach of CGM by bringing a friend or two. Our goal this year is to widen our St. John's circle by inviting our friends, our neighbors, our children, our grandchildren, and extending them an invitation to the event. Invite them to join us for some holiday shopping at the best market there is, where gifts are the right size, the right color, and fit everyone. Let them know that they will be helping to support 19 nonprofits who are working to help people in our community and beyond. Consider bringing a young person to the gift market. What a great way for children to learn about charitable giving. We have several charities whose work might interest a child, like the Kitty Cottage Adoption Center, the Seeing Eye Dogs, and they won't be set up side by side this year because that has happened in the past and not really good. The Fred Rogers Company is another one that they would be interested in, or if they're a budding environmentalist, the Wissahickon Trails. Every child who donates to a charity in honor of their teacher will receive a free teacher gift card. And I truly believe that every teacher has enough best teacher mugs and ornaments to last them a lifetime and will appreciate a unique gift. To better understand what a few of our charities do, we are thrilled today that we get to hear from three of them, and they'll give their stories of how their organization has helped others. The first one we're going to welcome would be Michelle and Karen, and they're from the Hedwig House, and this is their mission statement: to provide support and assistance to individuals with mental illness in pursuit of independence and personal fulfillment. So Michelle and Karen, can you share a few of your stories?
Thank you, Sue. We are grateful to the congregation for the invitation to speak today. I'm Karen Bidding, and this is Michelle Edgecombe, and we are the leaders of Hedwig House. To explain what we do, I would like each of you to take a moment to think about your daily life, your routine, social activities, and valued interpersonal relationships. You have all started your day with something meaningful to do, and I'm sure many of you have additional things that you plan to accomplish today. Now imagine you did not have these things. What would you be missing? What would your life look like? The majority of individuals we serve are low income with little family connections. As such, we often become their family. Hedwig House provides our participants meaningful daytime activities, learning opportunities, and social activities. We also provide people with basic needs, such as food, medicine, clothing, and help people obtain and maintain affordable housing. All of these things are highlighted by our tagline: a home, a job, a friend. things that are important to all of us.
So what does all of this look like in action? Here are some examples of how we've helped. Fred is a gentleman in his 70s that has been a member of our program for 28 years. One day he arrived at our office in need of medical care after being hit by a car. We called an ambulance and made contact with his family. As they live out of state, we accompanied him to the hospital, brought him needed items there, and visited him every day for 6 weeks. These visits helped him manage the symptoms of his mental illness so that he could complete his medical treatment, critical to have him be able to walk again. As he was working at the time, we kept his employer updated on his progress. Unfortunately, simultaneous to this, he was evicted from his apartment when the landlords changed. As such, we also worked with him to find another place to live, avoiding homelessness, and facilitated his move into his new home. He now resides happily with another member of our program. When member Judy's apartment was deemed unlivable by local authorities after an accident, we were able to help her find temporary housing nearby, deliver meals to her, and continue to bring her to program to connect with her peers. We provide daily meals to programs and deliver food to those in need weekly. We teach basic life skills such as how to grocery shop, eat healthy, budget, and how to pay your household bills.
Participation in your charitable gift market enables us to continue to do all these things for people in need, our neighbors, in our community. We are very grateful for that, as well as the opportunity to talk about Hedwig House. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle and Karen. And we're also really excited this year that we have the Bridge of Hope as one of our charities, and our own Abby Lamb has a story to share from that.
Hello again. So right now I'm here to talk about Bridge of Hope Bucksmont. Both Jessica Carson and I serve on the board of this wonderful organization. And as a single mother, I know how difficult it is to raise children on your own. But I have been very fortunate all this time to have a community and a family and a good job, which enabled me to raise my children. There are many women, however, who do not have those supports. And Bridge of Hope's mission is to provide support for single mothers and their children to get them back on their feet and back in a stable environment so they can go on and provide care for themselves and their children. The way we do that is we work with neighborhood churches. The church and connection is integral to helping our families. We have social workers on staff and other people who work to provide education in finance and money management, those kinds of things, because a lot of these women have been in abusive relationships or just in a place where they don't have an income to support themselves and their children for a variety of reasons. They may have come to us from shelters, or one woman was living in her car. And there are many other times like that where they have jobs and have to drive, 2 hours each way for very low hourly rate, and they can't seem to get out of that bind. So Bridge of Hope has helped women like this learn new skills, to get a better job, to have stable housing, and that is all done with the help of a neighborhood church and volunteers. And we make a commitment to these people for 18 months to 2 years to help them get back on their feet. So, and many of our families have been successful and been able to graduate from our program and continue on in a stable life after that. We are looking very forward to being part of the charitable gift market this year, and thank you for your support.
Thank you, Abby. We're excited to have you be part of it as well. And last but not least, we have Mel McDaniel, and she is from Marvin's Home, which is right down the street. And a little bit about her mission statement, and then she will share. Their mission is to create homes for youth and young adults who have been homeless or have aged out of the foster care system. So Mel, if you could please share with us.
Thank you, Sue. Thanks to all of you for having us. I haven't been in a church in a long time. And I'm going to just share a little part of a story I don't usually share with people, but I don't know. I'm going to. So I was raised in a commune, I like to call it, but it was really a cult. And it was very religious and very difficult. And there was no sense of home. We just moved all the time and lived with other people, and it was total chaos. And when I finally had a life of my own, when I was young, I just like dreamed of home. And for some reason, home to me literally meant a mailbox and a porch swing and a dog. So about 10 years ago, I got a dog and a house and a porch swing. And it was pretty much more amazing than I could have ever hoped for or realized or imagined. I think it's hard to imagine a life without a home if you've always had one. But if you use your imagination, you can try. And once I had this home and realized it was indeed everything that I thought home would be, which is really safety and security, I was like, okay, well, it's time to make homes for other people. And I was once a social worker, which I was not cut out for. So I then became an interior designer. And Marvin's Home started because we live in a world where some people have a lot of stuff and a world where some people have nothing. And I have this amazing opportunity to work with clients who are always getting rid of furniture. And then I have the amazing privilege of working with kids who have aged out of foster care, who are the survivors and are lucky enough, or not lucky enough, but they've worked hard enough to get to where they can move into apartments, but they own nothing. When I go see them, they're sleeping on the floor and they have some clothes. They maybe have, I don't know, there's really nothing. There's sometimes a chair. There's often awful furniture left by the previous tenants. And we go in with donated furniture and volunteers, and we make them a home. And let me tell you, it is the best thing ever. They jump on their beds because they've never had one. They, you know, send me texts about the fact that we brought them, what's like a good one? They love when they get a toaster, a lamp. Even the little kids like will go running into their room and turn on their lamp because a lot of these apartments have no lighting. So you can just imagine that making a home for someone who's never had one is an incredible thing. We have a store that Sue just mentioned. It's called Home on Main, and it's literally right nearby. That way. That's where we sell things, and we would love for any of you to come in. We need volunteers to help run the store. We need people to know about us so we can get more donations. And thank you so much for just inviting us into your, you know, to come here and be in your charitable gift market. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mel, and everybody. We have to visit that store. A huge thank you to all of our charity volunteers who joined us today, and I'm hoping this has inspired all of us to reach out, invite others to our October 15th CGM block party. And did I mention there's going to be lemonade and pizza and soft pretzels for sale, and also some musical entertainment. So it's going to be a fun and fulfilling event for all of us for a great cause. So let's show the community who we are as a community of faith, supporting all of these wonderful, deserving charities. Thank you.
have one joy to share today. Susan and John Hendricks were married here at St. John's 35 years ago today. We have several concerns for the family of Jim Stevenson. We're thinking of Lois, Matt, and Luke, and the rest of their families as they grieve the loss of Jim. And for the families of David Livesey, as they also are mourning his loss. Alan Johnston is at home and receiving hospice care. We also think of Judy as she is caring for him. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the many blessings we receive from you daily. Sunshine, rain, friendships, opportunities to help others, and family, just to name a few. Thank you for Michelle, Karen, Abby, and Mel for sharing the work they do serving others. We are grateful for Sue and the Charitable Gift Market Committee members for providing us with this opportunity for meaningful gift giving. Today's scripture assures us that the kingdom of heaven runs on the grace of God toward those who come to him through Jesus, no matter when they come or what they seemingly deserve. Help us to find you in our work, whether our work is in the home, the factory, the office, the field, or the classroom. Make your presence known when we feel our portion of work seems more burdensome than others. We thank you for the joy of Susan and John Hendricks, and please take a moment to praise God for joys that you're experiencing. Our concerns for our world are many: climate change, war, famine, inequality. Be with our world leaders as they tackle these and show us ways we can help. Please be with the family of Jim Stevenson, Dave Livesey, and look over Alan and Judy Johnston. Let us pause for some concerns you may have of your own. Hearing our prayers, Lord, as we go about our work and play this week, help us to see the world with the eyes of Christ. Let us experience hope in your goodness and know that your grace is extended equally to all. Amen. Knowing there is power in the offerings we give, please stand as our offering is brought forward.
Thank you. O gracious God, you have given us so much. We have received such abundance, such love, and such grace. We dedicate these gifts as together we labor on with partners, with neighbors, sharing love, mercy, kindness, and help to those in such deep need in a hurting world. Bless us, bless these gifts, and bless our work. We pray it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to thank our guests who could share with us this morning and inspire us. I love this parable of this king who goes out at hours upon hours during the day to invite people to labor, to share, to gather. You are those people. You are the laborers of love. You are the laborers of grace. You are the laborers of help and mercy. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.